Okay, gentlemen, don't give up now. We're rounding the bend and getting closer to the end. This has been a long, long journey, and we're holding now on Daf Kufov, right at the top. Tana Rabbanan, chalitza mut'et kshera. If a chalitza was done without an understanding of what it was supposed to be doing, and it was done under pretense, then it's nonetheless kosher. Which means what? Ezoi chalitza mut'et. What do we mean by a chalitza done under mistaken assumptions? Omer Shlokish, it means kosher. Omrim lo chalotzu b'kacha takunza. So the Bezdin tries to fool Yavam into doing chalitza by telling him, okay, go ahead and do chalitza, and this is the best way in which you could be kainaher, which is a pretty vicious trick, since of course that's just the opposite. If he does chalitza, he'll never be able to be kainaher. So over there, the chalitza is kosher. Amalei Reb Yochanan, Reb Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, that's crazy. Ani shone ben shnit kavenu velo nit kavnahi, ben shnit kavnahi velo nit kavenu, chalitza ta psula. The way that I got it in the Brisa is that it doesn't matter whether it was she who had the different wrong kavana or you had a kavana not for the purpose of chalitza, but the chalitza in all events is possible. Achit kavnu shneim kechad, unless both of them are mechavin together. V'yad amrit chalitza takshira, and you're coming along saying the chalitza is kosher. Ela, the only way of understanding a chalitza mut'eit, that a chalitza that's done under false pretenses, is a kosher chalitza would be the case of kosher omrim lachalotza almanach titen lach batayim zuz. Well, you go ahead and you tell the yavam to go and do the chalitza, and it should be conditional on her paying you off. So she'll pay you 200,000 rand, and that way you'll be able to be mekayim your mitzvah. In the end, she doesn't give him the money, which means that it was done under false pretenses. And as we'll see later on, nonetheless, it's coming to tell me that the chalitza is kosher anyway. Tanya Nami Yochi, and indeed there's a braita that says exactly that. Chalitza mutet kshera, ezoi chalitza mutet. And here, in the Gemara, the braita explains itself. What do we mean by a chalitza that was done by mistake? Kosher amrino chalotzla manachi titen lach matayim zuz. Where we tell him to do this chalitza on condition that you get the money. And there was in fact a story in which a woman fell to a Yavam who was inappropriate. We saw before that the Bezdin is supposed to give an Eitzah, that if they're not appropriate for one another, that they shouldn't do Yivam. And in this case, the Yavam nonetheless wanted to do Yivam, so the Bezdin told him, Omrulai, you know what? It's worth it for you to do chalitza. Chalitza, manachi titen lach matayim zuz. Go ahead and do the chalitza. She'll pay you off. Ubama asilif ne Rabbi Chiya v'yachshira. In the end, she didn't pay him off, and the Maisa came to Rabbi Chiya, and he said that nonetheless, the chalitza is kosher. Even though normally we say that it's possible to make a condition, and then the kinyan that you make is dependent on the fulfillment of the condition, so why over here would the chalitza be kosher if he doesn't pay her? So the reason is that the basis of conditions is built on B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain, which is the model for conditions in the Torah, in which Moshe Rabbeinu said to them that if you go ahead and you act as the Marines in front of everybody else, you fight for them until they finish getting until the war is won, so then you can maintain your Yerusha V'Eretz Yisrael and Ever HaYarden. And if not, you can't, then you're going to have to wait till everybody else gets Yerusha, get a Yerusha with them. Now, from there, we learn all types of dinim, one of which is that the only type of kinyonim where it's possible to make a condition are kinyonim in which there is a possibility of doing the act through a shliach. So, in other words, just like over there, the Yerusha was accomplished by a representative. So, where a representative can handle the transaction, then the transaction is not considered to be something that is dependent on the factuality of your doing it, but rather on the legality. And in that case, you can also make a legal condition which will limit the fact. This is how the Rambam understands. We'll get into it a little bit more deeply. Because some just understand that it's Xeris HaKosov, that it needs to be similar to B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain. And since it happens to be that B'nai Gad V'nai Ruvain could be accomplished with a shliach, and over here there's no way to do chalitza with a shliach. Chalitza is something that requires the body of the Yavam in order to do it. And because of that, it's impossible to make a condition in the chalitza.
So therefore, over here, when it's impossible to make a condition, when a condition is made, it has no legal validity, and it doesn't possible the chalos from taking place. So this is considered to be a chalitza mutate. Now, I mentioned to you yesterday that there are implications of the sugya tomorrow, which is today's daf, on the question that we raised yesterday about the function of the witnesses and the way in which a chalitza takes place. And indeed, this is maybe the place to discuss this. So although many of the Rishonim, as I mentioned, simply say this has to be similar, as Gzeiras HaKosev, to be like Tanai V'nei God of Neiruvein, and where it's not able to be learned from Tanai God of Neiruvein, the condition has no validity and the act remains a meaningful act whether or not you kept the condition. The Rambam speaks out a reason for why the chalitza over here would be kosher anyway. And his lashon is like this. Afa pisha lo natna, v'lo nitkayimet. I mean, he didn't give her the money, and the tanai wasn't mekuyam. Chalitza tak sheira, and here he puts in the words, sha'arei nitkaven l'chalotzla. The issue is over here that the bottom line is, he did the act, and his kavana was to go ahead and to be chalitzer. And it's interesting that when the Rambam does list elsewhere the din of conditions, and he lists all of the things that are learned from Tanai V'nei God V'nei Ruvein, he never brings up in his list that it has to be something that can be done with the shliach. So in other words, he is learning that the meaning over here of the chalitza being kosher is not as exerts a kosher that is similar to Tanai V'nei God V'nei Ruvein. Now this leads to Reb Chaim Brisker on the Rambam, to creating an insight here, a yesod, in the dinim of chalitza, in which he explains that the act of chalitza, even though it requires kavona, once there is kavona, the kavona creates the act. But it's the act and not the individual who has kavona for the act that creates the heter of chalitza. Therefore, it's not similar to normal kinyonim, let's say, or to gerushin or kedushin, where over there it's the das of the person who's doing it, which is the main factor. Over here, the kavona is only that which turns this into an act of chalitza rather than into an act in a shoe store. But once it is an act of chalitza, it's the act. Or if he was chalitzlo, since he was in schavinla chalitzlo, it's mekuyam. And since no longer is it into the rotzen of the person, or into his effort ability to make it tonight, the tanai would be meaningless because we don't need him. We only need his kavana for the act. And if that's the case, obviously, it changes the entire nature of chalitza and the chalos of chalitza. In other words, let's say according to this, I do have a kavana for chalitza, but maybe I have something in mind, thinking that she was somebody else or something. And according to this, let's say I was told, when Yerushalmi learns it, that they told him, you go ahead and do chalitza, then you'll be able to marry her. That the chalitza is kosher. Even though we would say, but had he known, he would have, in fact, he never would have done it. That doesn't matter. Because the point is that this was what it is that he wanted to do. This has implications for the Gemara that we had yesterday as well, in terms of a cheresh and a chareshes. We're over there. We said that the cheresh and the chareshes, the reason that chalitza is possible is because they can't read. And this is a big problem. They can't read. What about the fact that they don't have das? Don't you need das? So over there, okay. So Tosis explains that das element is necessary, but you're talking about over there that they have a ben das that's standing over them. So if a kotn has a god aloyim and al gabov, so that's sufficient. But according to the Rambam, it would be very simple. According to the way the Reb Chaim is learning the Rambam, by chalitza, you don't need that you should have das. Furthermore, you can understand also the inyanim and the edim. Because over here you don't need Adim for the act as you would with the Gittin and Kedushin. You only need Adis to prove that it actually took place. And if that's the case, since the Adim was standing outside over there, the Gemara's kasha was only how is it that we knew that they had taken place in jail, and he went ahead and answered that there were Adim that were there. So, I mean, according to this, there are other fascinating differences that are built on this. A lot of discussion among the Achrayim. Question whether it's possible to have charata b'toch k'tei dibur, and as a matter of fact, whether kosher this klal that wherever there's no shlichus, there's no din of tanai. Is it that the shlichus indeed is an indication that the act itself and only the act, which then by definition is him, is what's koveya, which is why obviously he can't give over the act to somebody else to do, because it is not defined by any legalities other than the fact of his having done it. And many, many other aspects which you can see would be related to the questions that are raised there. It's a beautiful, beautiful sugya. Here's another case where we did chalitza in the same way. He was fooled. So there was a Yavam who wanted to do Yibo. And he comes to Pchir Barava, and relates to Pchir Barava, tells the Yavam, Abiti, Hamodi, stand up and let's do the Yibo Mintit. So her mother was there, and she had come along with Yavama to try to stand up for her. Stand up, not in the literal sense, obviously, just as he didn't mean in the literal sense, not in Avamita particularly. So the mother says to Rabchia, Yeshivata Zoi Amirata. In this case, her standing still and not coming forward to do the Yimam is the best thing that she could do. That's how she would stand up for herself. Omar Lei, so he said to the mother, what, is there a problem over here that I better know about? So Yadatle, you know something about this guy, that this is not a good Yava? Omrale, she says, absolutely, and I sure do. Mamona this guy has no interest in being Makandim Bitsvah Yibam. He knows that my daughter is rich, and he wants to go ahead and marry her, and then he's going to go ahead and divorce her the moment that he uses up all of her money. And therefore, this is an inappropriate shidduch for her, basically. This is one approach in Rashi. Rashi brings another approach, where he said, stand up, and the mother said, look, she's basically lame, she can't stand. And so, at that point, what he was saying is, so then, if that's the case, what exactly is his intent? And she answered, his intent indeed is not for you. So in other words, Yodale, according to this, does the Yavam know that she's lame? And she answered, yeah, sure, he knows, and it's not that he's such a great guy to do the mitzvah. He's only interested in the money. Okay, but in any event, what happened is that then Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba wanted to make sure that the Yavam, this wasn't the mother sticking her nose into the Yavam's business. So he asked the Yavama herself, no, like halach, is this guy not the right one for you? Absolutely, I don't want him. Well, Marleis then Rabchia said to the Yavam, you know what? Chalotzlo v'kachat hakonsai. Let her go through this ceremony, which she takes off your shoe. And this is the way in which you go and you make a kinyan on a Yavama. The boss of the chalotzlo, after he did the chalitza, Marleis, Rabchia Bar Abba says to him, okay, now ashtem inachiv salalah. At this point, she can no longer ever have Yibam with you. You passed her. So now give her a good chalitza. Chalotza chalitza ma'ayata. The first one obviously not being good chalitza because you didn't have kavona for chalitza. So give her chalitza. Kiyechat tishtrei le'alma. So at this point, she should be muteres for the rest of the world. Because all that your first chalitza did was, since it was not in kavona, all it did was not matir her, but rather it passed her for you. Now, this is a little bit of a problem because we said before, just a few days ago, 3 days ago, we said that if a guy does chalitza without any kind of kavanah for chalitza, then there's no beis mikdash at all, and she's actually muteres. It has to be that they both might have had kavanah for chalitza. So what was Rabbi Barava saying that now she's psula? So indeed, some learn that this is part of the trick. That really she wasn't psula, but it sounded legal. So when Rabbi Barab was telling the Yavam that she's asur, it was part of the trick of getting a real chalitza from him. And that in the end, when he does a real chalitza for the kavona of chalitza, as we explained earlier, there it doesn't matter. Even though he could say it was a mekachtos, but as we said with the Rambam, that wouldn't make any nafkamina. Now this is consistent with the Rambam, because this is the Rimigashis pshat that indeed the Rambam goes with. But there are other explanations as well. So now, this guy went ahead, and he did Yivam. In this case, again, there's a question how he could now force him to do Yivam. So Enochinami, the halach is if he really couldn't marry her, and he refuses to do Chalitza, only to prevent her now from marrying somebody else. So over there, we have the general halach. We can force a person to do something where he's doing an avera, we can force him to do a mitzvah, and that's considered to be, when he says reitzani, even though we force him into the position by whipping him or whatever it is, that's considered to be kosher. And not everybody agrees with that. I mean, as we'll see later on, whether you could stomp for Chalitza, but we'll talk about that in a moment. All right, looking at the next case. There was another case where Bat Chamud, Rav Papa, not for Fleyom Shenom Gumma. So Rav Papa's father-in-law had a daughter that fell for Yibum for someone that wasn't a good Yibum for him. Maybe he was much older than her, younger than her. So also the Kamedi Abaya, the Yibum comes to Abaya, and Abaya wants to get out of the issue. So he tries to pull the same shtick, and he says, Chalutzlo b'kachat ha-kunza. He does the same thing that Rav Chiya Bar Abba does. He says, do Chalitza, and that way you're going to make her your wife. So Rav Papa said, psst, lo savalo mar lo adyom Rabbi Yochanan. I thought Rabbi Yochanan said, if you don't have kavana, so then it's not a good chalitza. So what are you going to accomplish? Now, I mean, this is not such a problem. We just saw there was a maisa like that. Maybe he's trying to do the same thing that Rav Chiya Bar Abba had done. So there's different places. I mean, basically, the Achronim say that Rav Papa just told that lechatchila this is not the way to do it. It would be better to get into a position where he actually wants to do chalitza instead of having a case where we're going to have to ultimately maybe force him to do chalitza. Okay, so Abaya says to Rav Papa, so what is it that I should do? What should I tell him if I don't tell him this? Or Marley, sort of Papa, said to Abaya, look, tell him, tell him to do chalitza, and she'll pay you. So Nemela, for that, you could do. Now, obviously, this wasn't a useful solution in the previous case. That's why it wouldn't make sense, because the case of Rav Chiya Bar Abba, where the guy was after her buddy, paying him off for 200 zuz was not a solution. But over here, where there wasn't any money, and he wasn't getting into it for the money, so there may be that it was important that he should get Matayim Zuz. Okay, so Abayas thought this was a good idea, and he went ahead and he told the Yavam to do it. And he goes in and gives Chalitza, Labosa Chalitza, so he does the Chalitza. So Abaya says to the Yavana, the relative of her papa, okay, now give him the money. Go ahead and give him the money, because Lamaisa, it's true that the Chalitza would be kosher. It's true that the chalitza would have been kosher even without it, because a tanai doesn't help. Nonetheless, Abaya held that because she agreed, she's basically is paying him off. They're paying him off, and forget about the tanai, but she's mechuyah to pay because she had agreed to pay him for a job. This was his job, to give her chalitza. So why shouldn't she have to pay? So then, after Abaya says pay him off, because not because of the din of the chalitza, but because of the agreement, like any other agreement where you agree to pay somebody for a service. So Rav Papa said, no, she doesn't have to pay for the service. Amalei, she can simply say, and this is a legal concept, Mishata Anibacha, I've only been fooling around. So Mishata Anibacha of the lay, she did a classic, I was joking. Milotanya, I mean, it says in a brisa, a similar case. Reshaya Boreach Mibeit Asum, a guy who was escaping from prison, the cops are after him. He comes to a crossing where there's a ferry boat. Vaitam Abram Lefanam, and there's a guy who's operating this boat, and he says, "Look, here's 1,000 rand. Told dinner v'avirani. Now the regular price was 10 rand. In lo l'schoro, all he gets is what he would normally get. Why is that? Because Amalim Mishatani b'cha. We see that a person who is in a position in which he is forced to get something done, and the person that he's talking to is a person who has a chiyuv to help him. We're talking over here where this guy was unfairly imprisoned. He can say that, listen, I had no choice. You weren't willing to do what you were mechuyev to do. You were mechuyev to go ahead and to help me. I mean, it's not worse than any other Ashavas Aveda. So he can say to the guy, Meshatane ani b'cha. So just like over there, he can say, Meshatane ani b'cha. So here too, the Yavama could say to him, look, you should have given me the chalitza. You didn't give me the chalitza. So then go ahead and I'll pay you. But I certainly, when you do it, I'm going to say to you, look, I only had to agree to pay you to get you to do what you needed to do. But I'm certainly not going to pay you l'maisa. Now, Baya was pretty shaken by the way that Rav Papa seemed to have better answers at every twist and turn of the way. And he was wondering how, remember that Abaya grew up as an orphan, basically had to fend for himself, although he moved into, as a child, into Rabba's house. So he was a little bit jealous. He says to Rav Papa, gosh, Avu Checha, where is your father? You must get good support. Omalei B'mata, yeah, sure enough, he lives in town where Beverly Hills. That's around the area where I am. Imachechen, where's your mom? She's got a great position. These guys, they take good care of me. This is what Abaye assumed, that the parents took good care of him. So he's got a lot of support and a lot of confidence, and he was able to pull ahead of Abaye. Yoav b'hu enei u'shchivan. And so Abaye says, Kol mokam shenasu chachomim enei'em lo misooni. Over here, Abaye was basically a little bit jealous. When a person is jealous of something, this is the way an Ayin Hara works as well, it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to examine, are these people roi indeed, to have a child like Rav Papa? Is Rav Papa roi to have parents who take such good care of him? And because of the fact that Abaye drew attention to this tremendous chesed, he was being mekabel, so indeed, they both died, Shchivan, and he lost his parents. Terrible tragedy. It's always very important to keep things under wraps, never to show off, not to allow people to bring attention in the Shemayim to things that we don't deserve. Tana Rabban, Chalitza Mutet Kshera. Now, it says in a Braisa, a Chalitza done under these false pretenses is kosher, but a Get is possible. A Get, on the other hand, has to be a Get that the person has the full intent of giving. And over here, if there's a condition that wasn't kept, since a Get can be done by a shliach, or in Rambam's term, since the get, in fact, is the odom, the das of the odom that's being poyal on the get, so if the condition isn't kept, so obviously the get would be possible, not like the chalitza. Chalitza mu'useit psula, a chalitza that we force a person to do, however, is possible. We're going to ask about this in a moment. Whereas a get mu'useis kosher, a get that we force a person to do, on the other hand, is kosher. Echidomi. Yes, the Gemara, wait a minute. That doesn't really make sense. What's the case? Idioma writes, and if when we force the guy, and he got to a point where, okay, I'm ready to do it, but I'm on my own free will. So then afilo chalitza nami, the chalitza would also be kosher under those circumstances. So why does the Braisa say it's possible? V'ilo amar reitzani, and if the forcing didn't get to the point where he said, I'm willing to do it, so then a gate that is mu'useh is namilo. A gate also is not kosher. The only time that we say that it's kosher is as the Rambam says, that since l'maisa, every Ben Yisrael wants to do what's right, so when he finally gets to the point which he says, reitzani, that is the real truth. And even though we have to force him to get to that truth, once he gets to that truth, he's truly happy about the fact that he's able to do the right thing. So, I mean, if that's the case, what's the nafkamina between the case of the get and the case of the chalitza? Says the Gemara Hochikoma. Actually, what the Braisa was saying is this. Chalitza mut'eit is always kosher. Lo olam kosher, as we explain. Whereas a get mut'eit is always possible, because a get that has a t'nai, that has to be mekuyam. Mashenka, when it comes to a chalitza mu'useit and a get mu'useit, then it depends. Zimnin kosher, v'zimnin pasul. So where do we say that it's kosher? If he said, yes, I'm doing this of my own free will, even though it's clear that he's being hung up by his toes. And where he didn't come to the point at which he says this. So then the truth is that there's no nafkamina between get and chalitza. There's only nafkamina between saying reitzani or not saying reitzani. And that's really what was meant over here in the Braisa by forcing us to get to the point at which we recognize the difference between the two. The Tanya, and indeed we see that it says in the Pasuk, Yakriv Oto. What's the chat? Yakriv Oto. It says, Yimala Korbano. No, because Zacharta Mim Yakriv Venu. Yakriv Oto. And what's the Yakriv Oto? It says Yakriv Venu. The Yakriv Oto is that Bezdin shall be Makriv, the person, to bring his karma. See to it that he brings his karma. Malamichiko Fimoto. We can force him. So does that mean Yochel Baal Kocho? What do you mean that we can actually do it against his Ratzon? Doesn't it say, Beferish liritzono lifnei Hashem? It says yakrivoto liritzono. Isn't that a contradiction? To say kofinoto means that it's willingly. So okay, so how do we understand the two words one next to the other? Kofinoto achiomar rotzoni. We indeed force him so that he's compelled to say, I do want this. V'chinata motzebi gitei nashim. The same thing is true by gitin. Kofinoto achiomar rotzoni. So at the point that he's willing to give the chalitza the get, and he says, I'm willing. So then it's Rotsani. If he never accepts the fact that this is what I want, and he's constantly saying, okay, I'm moving my hand and I'm putting my signature to it, but it's certainly not what I want, then Hinuch and Amu would be possible in both of them. Omar Rav on Rav Secheira, Omar Rav Huna, Chalitza afa pisha in makirin. You can do Chalitza even though you don't know who the Yavam and Yavama are. And ma'anin afa pisha in makirin, and you can accept a miyun. If a ketana comes into court, she's clearly a ketana. You don't know her, you don't know the husband. Nonetheless, she can be mima'anis even though we don't know who it is. But because this is true, lefichach in kotvin get Chalitza, Elohim kin makirin. The Adim that were there should not, however, write up a what's called a get chalitza, which a get means of your shtar, which is the broadest meaning of get. So basically a document. They should not write up the document that shows that she was a chalutza, which allows her to marry anybody else. And this is just a raya that she had received chalitza, but don't write out such a thing. Because in this case, if they don't recognize her, Elohim kin makirin, if they don't recognize it, then since the Beis Din itself may have done it, the Chalitza, where they themselves don't know the Yavam Yavama, we obviously are not going to be able to allow this Yavama to marry anybody, right? Because until we find out who it was, maybe the guy who did Chalitza is not her Yavam. Well, what good is that then? Maybe she was trying to get to, she hired somebody to do. Or maybe it's even the guy herself she wanted to be married to, who pretended to be her Yavam. So in order to make sure that we're not nikshal in this, we don't allow the Edom to write out a get chalitza unless they themselves know the Yavam Yavama. They can't rely on the fact that the Beis Din did it by knowing, because they can do it even without knowing. Okay. But when it comes, Vein Kotrim get miyun, Elim kin makirin, the same thing would be true, that they should not give a notice of miyun, unless they know who the girl is, for the same reason. In other words, the fact that the Beis Din allowed her to do the miyun, fine, she did the miyun, there's nothing can hurt once she could prove who she is. But if we give over a ksav that says in it that she was a mamanis, maybe it's the wrong person. So that she sent a ketana over there claiming that it was her, and now she'll say, well, when I was a ketana, I did miyun. But the truth is she was already too old, and her miyun wasn't kosher. So therefore, there's no way that we can have the yavam, the edim rather, write such a thing. The chayshinan lebeidin to'in. Why is this true? Because we're afraid. Let's say that edim write such a thing, and they write it even if they include in the get. Normally, let's say a chalitza always uses the word the ishtamo de inu. The ishtamo de inu means, and we made certain of the fact of the identity. So let's say that whole piece, Vishtamo de Inu, is not written in it. So we would think that, okay, that they could give to the Yavama, and then afterwards she could prove that she was her. But now what Rav is saying is that we can't even give that type of get, because we're afraid that another Beis Din assumes now that it must have been that the Chalitza was done Bedafka, knowing them, and they would think that a Beis Din can't give chalitza if they don't know who it is, or can't give yibum who it is, unless they know who it is. So because of that, we cannot allow a get to be written for chalitza miyun, because another Beis Din that has to paskin based on it may simply not be knowledgeable enough to know that there's something fishy about this particular shtar. I don't think the reason that the Edom left out the word Vishtamo de Inu is because indeed the Edom did not know who it was, and the Edom relied on the Beis Din who did know who it was. Of course, the question is, Bechlal, what is the point of giving such a get if it can't do anything anyway? I mean, unless there's a Beis Din that's going to make a mistake, they're not going to be able to use this for anything. And indeed, Tosfos asks this kasha. So Tosfos says, I mean, what's the problem over here? If somebody now was an aide in a Beis Din where they didn't know the Yavam and Yavama. So then if they would go ahead now to another Beis Din, they could still go ahead and give the aides, and they might still allow the other Beis Din, might be a Beis Din Tayyim, and allow her. I mean, what's nafkamina about giving her now a get or not giving her a get? It's exactly the same. So it says, because in a case where we actually have an Edus over there, of course, you talk to the Edim, so you say to the Edim, any Beis Din is going to say to the Edim, so you knew who she was, the Beis Din knew who she was, and then it'll be clear that it wasn't. Mashenken, if we give such a get, And the only way that it would be meaningful would be by Besdin Tayyans, which is exactly why we avoid this. There's no way to put together the testimony of who she is with the testimony of what had happened. Okay. Rava, however, himself held, not like this, Rava Didei Omer, Eid Chatzin Elohim Ken Makirin, he held that the Besdin can't do Chalitza unless they have established who the Yavam is and who the Yavama is. Okay, there are others who say that not necessarily does it have to be both. I mean, the only problem over here is that we need to know who the Yavam is. Why do we need to know who the Yavama was? But, okay. I mean, obviously, Bepashtus, somebody else could be standing in. If she's impersonating the Yavama, it's not going to help much for us to give a ksav. Same thing with Drew by Mion. Ein Mamanim Elim Kemakirin. You got to know who this girl is. And here for sure, we don't need to know who the husband is, because we only need to know whoever this woman is married to. She is basically annulling the marriage. So the witnesses can write now a get chalitza, because the Besdin, in fact, knows that who it was. In this case, we're not afraid that the people who did the Yibum, or the people who did the Chalitza, or the people who did the Miyun, this is not the same Besdin Tony as we had in the other case, and this, it's the actual Besdin that achieved it, were not Chayish, that Besdin didn't know what they were doing, and that maybe they did it also without knowing who it was, so that when we get now our get that doesn't say Vishtamo De'inu, and we're relying on the Besdin, maybe that Besdin didn't know what they were doing, that we're not worried about. The Tosfos doesn't like this pshat, because Tosfos says, I mean, it's very strange that the way we use Besdin Tayin is different over here than the way we use Besdin Tayin before. Because, I mean, Rav Schaer is using the Besdin Tayin over here in terms of the Besdin that we'll see now the get, Chalitza. And Rav is using it in terms of the Besdin who actually did the Chalitza, or did the Mian. Okay, this is a problem on the basis of which Tosfos gives another explanation, but we can learn the Gemara Kipshutai the way Rashi learns it. Zokta Eleke Mishnah, Mitzvah Chalitza. What's the proper way now of doing the Chalitza? Bahu v'yivim tola beidin. He and his Yavama has to show up to the Besdin. This is in the Yavam city, to his Besdin. V'hin masin lo etzah ogeneslo. They have to give him a good etzah as to whether she's appropriate. Shnemar v'kor ulo zikneiro. The Zakenim of his city should call him, v'dibru elav, and they should speak to him, v'yamad v'amar lo chafatzi lekachta. So what do they speak to him? They speak to him, and they say, as we saw earlier, she's too young for you, she's too old for you, what do you need to bring your home into a bad type of relationship? V'hiomeret, and then at that point, she reads out the pasuk, in which she says, in Lashon HaKodesh, as we see, that me'ein yevami lakim lachiv shem b'Yisrael lo avayapmi. My Yavam refuses to be making a name for my brother. He doesn't want to take me, even though he may say, I would love to take you, but they told me it's not a good eitz. But the bottom line is that at this point, he doesn't want to take me. And he indeed has to read out the pasuk, in which, as the pasuk says, that he comes le'ein yezakenim, and he has to say exactly those words, that I don't want, indeed, lo chafatzti lekachta, I don't want to take her. He says those words, and even though this really occurs a little bit, this is like the next pasuk. So this is, comes after the koru lozik neiro, but we're reading this two separate things. First is the Eitzah Genesla, that's the Dibrei Lav, then she says, and then he says, going back now to the pasuk that we said before, which is the pasuk after this, lo chafatzti lekachta, that he also has to say b'loshon hakodesh, or b'loshon hakodesh ayomrim. They both spoke now these words in b'loshon hakodesh, and we teach them, as we'll see later on, how exactly to say it. And then at this point, it says the next pasuk. That's not what they have to say, but this is what we're darshaning. That when it says la'enei hazikenim v'yarka b'fanav, it means that the rok has to be near the dayanim, that she, the dayanim, should be able to see what it is that she spits. And obviously the part about the chalitza, for sure they have to say, that's a devar plushet. And indeed, I mean, if you hold that the Rikika is not Makevis, so then this is only, this is obviously only a Lechatchila, perhaps even only a Drabona. And then, after that's done, she does the Chalitza, and she does the Rikika, the Antava Amra, Kacha Yasili Shashelo Yvnet Betachiv, Akanayu Makrin, they used to read her, make sure that she could say this positive. So they said it to her, and she would now repeat it clearly in Lashon HaKodesh. And that's what they used to, Lechatchila, this is what they used to do, only up to this point. But once Rav Hurkenes was doing a chalitza under the famous elm tree in the city of Etam, so the oak tree, however one understands in Eilah, we go marit kol parasha, and he continued to read the words, v'nikra shmo Yisrael bet chalutza now. So people from that point on followed Rav Hurkenes, and they also go the Yisgemri kol parasha. It became the minhag to say the entire parasha, that the we would read it to make sure that the Yavama said it. And then, this last pasuk, v'nikra shmo Yisrael bet chalutza na'au, that now is a limud that it should be said, bet chalutza na'au, that's the mitzvah of the dayonim. The dayonim are the ones that are mechuyev to say bet chalutza na'au, v'lo mitzvah betalmidim, but there's no chiyev for the other people that are at the Talmidim, usually would be there, and the Bezdin would be sitting around like we saw before, so they do not have to say Beit Chalutzanau. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, Mitzvah Kol HaOmdim Sham, Lomar Chalutzanau, Chalutzanau, everybody that is there, and it doesn't matter whether they're the Dayonim or they're the Talmidim, anybody present should be saying Chalutzanau. Omer Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda says Mitzvah Chalitza is in this order, Korah. Okay, first, she has to say the posik, that he doesn't want to be miyam, miyam yabi, vikore, and then he has to say the lochafetzi do kochta, and then choletzes, and then rokekes, and then korah, then once again, she does the kriya about the chalitza sanal, and after doing it, she says, kacha yasela ish, asher lo yivnet bet achiv, and that's it, which basically is what we just learned in the Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Maika Mashmalan Masnizimi. Isn't this just telling us over what the Mishnah said? No. Kamashmalan mitzvahs chalitza, meaning that this is the lechatchila. But if you would do it out of order, but it's not a problem. But if we had read it in the Mishnah, we would have thought that mitzvahs chalitza that is said in the Mishnah maybe doesn't go on the entire thing, because the mitzvah chalitza might just be in the new chiddush, which is that mesino etzel geneslo. But the rest of it may be even liikuva. So therefore, he wants to make it clear that this is the Seder of Chalitza as a mitzvah. And indeed, Tanya Namihochi, the Brisa says clearly that the order, the sequence, is not important. So there's Ben Shikdim Chalitza L'Rekika. Ben Shikdim Rekika L'Chalitza, Masha Asa Asui, it nonetheless will work no matter what, no matter how you did it. Om Rabbi, Hai Man, the Makri Get Chalitza. We have one of the Dayonim who is reading out of the Get Chalitza, the Psukim, and he wants to teach her. And this is a strange thing to say, Bichlal. I mean, what does it mean, he's reading from the Get Chalitza? And the practice is that, okay, they had prepared already the Get Chalitza, and the Get Chalitza includes the Psukim, that we did this, and we said this, and so on. So apparently there was a need that for it to be written. And he was reading it out of Get Chalitza. He wasn't reading it out of the Sefer Torah. We'll see what the implications are later. So lo likra lidido, when he's reading to her and getting her to say it, he should be careful not to say to her separately, okay, say now lo, and then say avayabmi. So don't say it separately. Don't say lo luchudei, v'avayabmi luchudei, because then you could read it, the mashma avayabmi. That might mean that my Yavam indeed does want to take me. So you have to put it lo avayavmi together. Furthermore, v'lo likra l'didei, and when they're reading to him how he has to say it, they have to put together the lo with the lo chafatzi l'kachta. So don't say the word lo separately, and then chafatzi l'chudei, which would mean, yes, chafatzi l'kachta, I do want to take her. Ela lo chafatzi l'kachta. You should say clearly, I do not want her. All in one, basically one breath. Whereas Rava says, see what the problem is. Of Sukkah Mil, see what people can't talk. Things have to be said in one breath. I mean, all you're doing is you're in the middle of talking. When you complete what it is that you're saying, it's clear that it's all one statement. Vapsuki milta, making a break in the middle of one statement is not an issue. Less tumba. We have no problems with making, it's the way people speak. They don't necessarily say everything in one breath. As a matter of fact, the correct girsa, the Bach points out, is asuke milta. This is the way when a person completes a statement, it becomes one statement. Now Rav Ashi was once, he found Ashkel Rivkana to come and stayru makre lo avayabmi. Rav Ashi saw that Rivkana was being very medactic to see to it that the Yavama should say all in one time, which was very difficult for her to get it straight and kept going over again and again. No, say it like this, lo avayabmi. And so he asked him, Omarle, why are you going to such dirka? Well, several my other Rava. Rava pointed out that it isn't essential that you should, that it has to be said. If she can't do it, she can't do it. So it'll be Asuke Milsa. Omar Lay. So he now, Rav Ashi said back to Rav Kahana, Lo Sovali Mar, Lo Hoda Rava. Don't you hold it isn't all that necessary? Omar Lay, Rav Kahana said to Rav Ashi, no, you don't understand Rava. Moda Rava Belo Avayabmi. Rava also agrees that when it comes to what she said, the law of Mayabmi, that for sure has to be said as one thing. He was only arguing on the Locha Fatsi Lekachta. Over there, you don't have to worry about it. It would just be Asuke Milsasa. And that's because since she had already said something, she started saying, Me'ein Yabmi Lakim Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael. So if she was going to say lo separately, we could put the lo in together with those words. This is not the guy in the guy who is Me'en Yabmi Lakim Lachiv Shem B'Yisrael. Lo, absolutely not. Havayabmi. He wants to take me. Mashenka, when he says lo chafatzu lo kachta, there's no way to understand the lo except because it doesn't connect anything before since it's the first word that he says. Over there, Rav is saying that that's the gemar mils, that's a suke mils. But to say that what she says is clear no matter what, that's not true. It is, in fact, possible to confuse. And therefore, I am going to great lengths to see to it, even according to Rav, that she says it properly. And according to this, it has to be said really all at one time. Ask the Gemara, wait a minute. You said before that the Get Chalitza, he was reading from the Get Chalitza. Right? Is that so pushy? So Baya says, Omer Abaya, I mind the Kosa of Gita the Chalitzosa. If you're writing a Get Chalitza, you should write it like this, Lichtov Hochi. That Akrino Lidida Min Mein Yabmi Adava Yabmi. We read to him, the Posek, that he should say, beginning with the words Me'en Yabmi, and ending with the words Avayabmi, but don't write out the whole pasuk. Vakri L'di Dei, and then we had him say, from the word Lo, till the word Lekachta. So, but don't write out the whole word Lo, Chafatzi Lekachta. And then Vakri L'di Da, later when you're describing what it is that she says afterwards, also don't write out the whole pasuk, just write Vakri L'di Da, mean from the word Kacha, and until you get to the word Techalutzana. So the reason for this is, because in order to write psukim from the Torah, it's necessary to have sirtut. It's necessary to have the lines, the scoring in the parchment. And since there was no sirtut over here, it's us to write it over in any other way. Whereas Marzutra says, listen, do sirtut, misartek, because of Kolo Parashur. He would do sirtut in the parchment of the Get Chalitza, and he would write the whole parsha from the Torah so that there was no problem of writing it down. Maskif lo mar baridis, mar baridis said, v'aloni tamli kasev. How can you write it down? The halach is you're not allowed to write just one piece of the Torah. The Torah was given chasuma as a complete document and has to be written over as a complete document. But nonetheless, yechus akavasi de mar zutra. Because in this case, it's mutter to write it down because I'm not writing it down in order to make it a parsha of the Torah, I'm simply writing a document that includes psukim in the Torah that I was supposed to be writing. And that's exactly what I'm doing. So all that I'm doing is saying over what we did, and this is exactly what we did. If I was writing it to be read as a piece of the Torah, even if it was only going to be read in a school for kids, Einachinami over there, I would need to do sirtut. Omra Abaye, Rokekov, Kalatatoa Ruach. Suppose now the Yavama spits, And all of a sudden there's a gust of wind which carries away her spit. Lo astava lo klum. So then the rekika is meaningless. Obviously it could be that the whole rekika is unnecessary. But if they're still standing there, so they're to the rekika, let her do the rekika. My time, huh? V'yarka b'fanav b'inan. It has to be yarka in front of him, and over here was blown away before it got in front of him. Hilka hu aroch v'hi gutza. If the yavam is tall and she's short, so then there'd be no problem. And even the kalatata ruach ika b'fanav. Because the moment that she spit, it was already b'fanav, because she's not taller than he is. So then even though it doesn't hit the ground, that's not a problem. Whereas if he aruka, but if she's tall and he is short, hu gutz. And then the wind blows the spit before it comes in front of the area where he is, then it's not kosher. So bina adamati la de'api v'adarazim. We need that it should first be kinegdei, and at that point it's befanav, and then it's okay if it's blown away. Right. Although it's mashu from Rashi over here that he has to actually see it, and that befanav means that it should be your eyu l'mul fanav. Most learn that this is lav davka. It just means that it should be in front of his face. And, because in general, there's a whole shaila l'gabi. What if the yavam is blind, that he's not shayach? Then it would be, of course, nogea the question of whether this would be bila ma'akeves, where it's in a royal bila. So it could be that Rashi agrees that it's no problem if he's blind. You don't really need to see it. And that's the pashtus, really. Let's say that the Yavamah had eaten a garlic and it was really making her salivate and she spits out that saliva. Or she was chewing now a piece of earth and clay and that makes her now spit. That's not considered to be a rekika at all. My time, the yarka. It requires her going ahead and spitting. It needs to be something that she does on her own. But in this case, it was something else that catalyzed the spitting. And according to this, we can't view this as rekika. Again, even though the rekika is ma'akev, it's amazing how these things develop. Because of this Gemara, so we have a minig now that the Yavoma doesn't eat or drink before the chalitza. Because how do we know that what it is that she ate wasn't something that catalyzed her salivating? Because of that, we have now a new minig. This is very serious. It's brought already in the early Pesachim, Shulchan Aruch, it's on, that this is what we do. In fact, this is the minig, that she doesn't eat anything. V'yoma Rava, Tzvicha Dayani Lemechse Ruka Kinafik Mipubini Yavoma. The judges now have to see the spit as it comes out from her mouth. Tichsiv, Leine Azekenin V'yarkas. The Eureka, again, we said before, that it's not really ma'akev at all. But again, Tosfos points out over here that in the Get Chalitza, it says that they saw it until it touched the ground, which l'chora, this is not like our Gemara. So Tosfos says that in Achinami l'chatchila, they should see it from the time that she spits until it actually touches the ground. But that it's not ma'akev. However, the Shulchan Aruch indeed writes that since this is what's written, so then even though, of course, the chalitza is kosher, even if we didn't see the rekika, and the truth is even if she didn't do rekika at all, but nonetheless, since there's a mitzvah chatchila to do the rekika, so then it's coming to tell me that if she did the rekika, just that the dayanim didn't see it, then it doesn't require to do a rekika even again at all. So there's different levels in the chatchila, which would mean, according to this, that the diyak bichlal of the re'iyah of the dayanim, the zekanim in the pasuk, is really only an esmachta b'yom. And then it says, v'nikra shmo b'yisrael, beit chalutza na'al, which the Mishnah says is mitzvah dayanim, v'lo b'talmidim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, everybody says it. Tanya, learned in a b'raisa, Rama Rabbi Yehuda, pa'am achat ha'iti ha'yuna yashrim lefnei Rabbi Tarfon. We were once now sitting in front of Rabbi Tarfon, and if Yavama came into the bezdin, Ubata Yavama lachalutz, v'yamarlon, and Rabbi Tarfon said to all of us, anu kulchem chalutzanal, 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 all of you should participate in the kriya of chalutzanal three times. There's all kinds of perishion why it's three times, but in general we find that when we're trying to be kovei, I think publicly, like we have by the bringing the Omer on Shabbos, getting the Omer, we do it three times. Others learned that it's, there's all kinds of ramazim over here, and in which the three times is that there should be an union of avelas in the chalitza, and there should be an union of nidui in the chalitza, and there's an union of an einesh in chalitza. In order to make it clear, we say three times chalitza now. Hadran lof mitzvah chalitza, b'li neder.